Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I've asked to do this so many times, and you keep saying, no, there's other people. Today, I put my foot down. I said, let's just get into it a little bit. You and I, it's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon today.
You put your foot down, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not going to take it anymore. Remember I was booking the guest this week? Well, yeah. I said,
I'm booking you.
Because I think it's good for you and I just to get into it every now and then.
Well, you know, but you're the cock of the walk now. You know, you're out there.
To what are you referring, John?
Maybe one of the greatest storylines that we've seen in a decade in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where the President's Trophy winner again. Has trouble getting to the Stanley Cup final, let alone winning the Stanley Cup. The storylines that have occurred in the last 6 to 8 weeks in Vegas are unbelievable. When you think the removal of the coach, the change in goaltenders, and even when you deal with game three, the return of the captain scores, and the team comes from behind by three to win going away.
Believe it or not, there's even multiple layers that go deeper than that.
Okay, do tell.
Yeah, I will after the break. It's 100% Hockey. Can you tell the people to give us a like?
Thumbs up. Don't forget thumbs up, Pig.
On YouTube, on your favorite podcast platform. We'll get into the Golden Knights' march through the Stanley Cup playoffs and also touch on this developing story in the Eastern Conference Final that may not be as close as people think. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Stay with us.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
We'll get to Vegas in a second, but the Eastern Conference Final between Montreal and Carolina. You look at the all the numbers outside of the series being tied at one, and man, like Carolina is Carolina.
Yeah, but Montreal has defied numbers the whole playoffs, haven't they? Yeah. They
really I think have. It's going to catch up to them here.
We said that at some point in the Tampa series.
Can I make a prediction? Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Gentlemen sweep.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, gentlemen sweep. I hope I'm wrong.
Give them the first game and then the Canes roll?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't see that. I just don't see that. I see a split in Montreal. So it may be Carolina in six. But Montreal has defied these odds. Well, how many games have they played? They played 16 games. So they defied the odds 10 times. Mm-hmm. They have defied the odds 10 times.
It's been incredible. And I feel bad going against them, given what they've been
able to do against
the odds. I do. Because the enthusiasm of that market is infectious across hockey, not just in Canada.
I think it is one of the great public displays of affection that you're going to see. Tonight will be electric at the Bell Center. It will be electric on Wednesday night, win or lose in Game 3. It will be a wild scene. It's one of those ones, Darren, where, you know, we always say, well, we have to get fringe fans involved in the game. Hardcore fans would watch anyway. There's enough of an event that goes on that might attract a lot of people just to watch what goes on in Montreal before the game, and then just to be enamored with everything that fan base does in the arena. I mean, there's probably 45,000 people outside the arena when you think about the viewing areas they've created. I mean, they've tried to create viewing areas.
Have you seen the cathedral outside of Montreal that they're doing a watch party in?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It's a functioning church, and they're having a watch party in it.
Well, they've tried to do watch parties all through the province, and they tried to do one in Ottawa.
Yeah.
But the league won't let them do Ottawa because Ottawa has their own team. So that's why. You know, it's not like
tough spot for the Senators to be in.
It is.
Like the organization. You can't let them do it.
But you know what? That's the league's job. That's what happens in those scenarios is the Ottawa Senators saying, listen, we understand, but you know, that's where the league has to be the bad guy. That's the phone call that every once in a while the commissioner would give, or those of us that work there would say, hey, listen, it's our job to be the bad guy in that scenario. So you don't say a thing and we'll fix it for you. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen.
You're back home. You got a better feel for it than I do out here in the Western Conference. Up 3-0 on the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, did I?
But I'll get to that.
What a shock.
I'll get to that. Is Montreal truly Canada's team right now?
No, not yet.
No?
Not yet.
What will it take? And where do you think it's failed to grab on? And why not?
Well, first of all, it's difficult to be Canada's team anymore when you're not really seen on a weekly basis across the country on a regular basis in the regular season. Montreal isn't always seen across the country. That said, I think if Montreal were able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and win this series, because you're apparently saying that they're going to get devastated in the next four games. If they were, and then the storyline changes. Montreal gets to the Stanley Cup final. The storyline changes to the cup might come home. And the moment that occurs, that the cup might come home, the country will galvanize. I truly believe that. Now, there are hardcore Oilers fans, Canuck fans, Flame fans, Jets fans, Maple Leaf fans, Senators fans that will not embrace Montreal at any cost. At any cost.
Because they're a Canadian rival?
Totally. Totally. And
same
and
way that fact, they wouldn't grab onto the Edmonton Oilers or other Canadian teams that have extended marches?
Different because Connor McDavid himself transcended the Oilers. You know, you go to any arena in Canada when the Oilers play, there are locals wearing McDavid sweaters. The concept of what the Canadians are now as a super regional team is one. I think Montreal, for a lot of people across the country, they are sometimes the fans' second favorite team. So, you know, if you're a Flame fan, you're going to cheer for Calgary. But if Montreal's in, I might watch Montreal. I think that there's that same affiliation that you have for Montreal. It used to be for the Maple Leafs. Now the Maple Leafs are, you know, they're like a Star Wars character.
Toronto still draws well whenever it goes west.
But
in Ottawa.
Toronto draws well everywhere because there's hardcore Leaf fans everywhere because the Maple Leafs are seen every Saturday night on a national basis. And the Maple Leafs they have driven TV for years.
So that's dropped off with Montreal because it used to be very similar or more so.
it has dropped off. That's the reality. It has dropped off for, I think, a multitude of reasons. I do think that in the province of Quebec, the Canadians have never been more popular. Now, that's, to me, that's low-hanging fruit, where there's no second team in the province anymore. And I do think fans in Quebec City and the rest of the province have embraced what Montreal has done the last couple of years. But it's certainly not a factor like the Maple Leafs are across the country. And people are going to disagree with me, but I mean, the numbers just prove it out. The numbers prove it out every time. So from that perspective, it will become a factor when people start to think Montreal can bring the cup home. And if Montreal can bring the cup home, then people will start to pay more attention. The other thing, Darren, is the focal point in our country with the game of hockey right now, in at least three of the cities, has been far from watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know that's frustrating, but it's true. The storyline in Toronto isn't who's going to win the Stanley Cup. The storyline in Toronto is, what is Keith Pelley doing? What is John Chayka doing? Who's going to coach this team? Is Gavin McKenna?
That's 75% of all the talk show conversations, right? Instead of the playoffs.
It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, Montreal's playing and they might win. But what about
the league furious?
I don't know if the league's furious. I think the league would be frustrated because they want the focal point to be on the games, but people are still talking hockey, so it's not a bad thing. I think it's a similar situation in Edmonton, where ever since the elimination against Anaheim and the two player press conferences and the firing of Chris Knobloch and the storyline of who's going to coach this team, I think that has dominated in Edmonton. And I think up until 10 days ago when Daniel and Henrik and Ryan Johnson got hired in Vancouver, and now they're going through the phase of trying to find a coach, I think that's the storyline in Vancouver. So all of a sudden, you have three of your four largest English-speaking markets in the country thinking hockey, but not thinking Stanley Cup playoffs. They're just thinking about their own team. So, and you can't blame them. There's nothing wrong with it. You can't blame them. And in many ways, it's miraculous that people are still thinking and talking about hockey when their local teams aren't playing. So it's, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't in that scenario. But it will change for that brief moment if Canadians get to the Stanley Cup final.
So where are you in the belief that the Montreal Canadiens have done this right? Because they it's more of an extended playoff drought with a couple of little blips in it. You know what I mean? Like there's been a rebuild here with a couple of flashes. It hasn't been the Buffaloes or the Detroits or the Anaheims where it was just this massive gap in there. Did they get it right, Montreal?
Tell you what, take out COVID, please. Take out COVID. COVID doesn't count. It can't count.
Well, they got to a Stanley Cup final during
that's
that
what I'm saying.
Era.
That's got a giant asterisk beside it. And let's remember how they got there is, you know, there were so many things that happened in that strange season. I'm not sure people could remember this. Remember that was the Canadian division. So yeah. You knew you had a Canadian team at least going to the final four. and then, you know, your pal and my pal, Marc-Andre Fleury, did a terrible job behind the net. And otherwise, it probably would have been Vegas going to the Stanley Cup final that year. Correct? When you think about it. I just think that the COVID year is such a strange year. So if you look at how that since the signing and hiring of Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes and then Marty St. Louis and how they have dealt with it with their scouting, mean, their scouting staff deserves a ton of credit for the decisions they've made, from Caulfield, you know, Slafkovský, Gouley, some of the trades they made, you know. And by the way, Mark Bergevin is responsible for some of those trades, like Josh Anderson. You know, the Jakub Dovish drafting was fascinating to think that what a difference it means. They have done things and been transparent about it, saying we got to rebuild. We got to start fresh. You know, Jeff Molson. It's
six of the last 11 years they missed the playoffs.
But Jeff Molson, Jeff Molson said to them, guys, we got to do this right. We have to do this right. Otherwise, we're just going to flounder and be, a 12 to 16 team every year. And that's not good enough in Montreal. We want to win the Stanley Cup. So I think the whole concept of what Canadians have done over the last 3 or 4 years, and people, that rabid fan base, have bought into that. And in fact, I think the rabid fan base have kind of taken ownership of the rebuild. And they feel that it's part of their...
Did you think you would ever see that?
No. No, but I also think that... I think that Jeff Molson thought outside the box by bringing an American in Jeff Gorton, to run the hockey side. He's then trusted Gorton, hiring Kent Hughes, an agent, to be the general manager, hiring a coach that had no professional coaching experience, was coaching his kids in Connecticut before he took the job. And they've all grown up with this, players, coaches, fan base. It is a remarkable story in so many ways. It's one of those ones where there has to be some university student doing his master's degree in sports development or sports administration saying, I want to do my thesis on how the Montreal Canadiens rebuilt themselves. Because they did it in such a manner that there was never any acrimony in the fan base. That's the part that you look at Vancouver. People are already having angst in Vancouver, and they don't even have they haven't played a game since all the changes. There's angst in Edmonton. There's angst in Toronto. There was no angst in Montreal. They bought in. They believed in what the process was going to do, because it was going to buy them a good team, in theory, for, in a cap world, 6 to 8 years. And we're now starting to see evidence of that. We're seeing the growth of it. You know, 2 years ago, they missed the playoffs, but you knew they were close. Last year, they made the playoffs, lost to Washington. This year's the next step. There is a progression that people in Montreal have bought into and are enjoying the benefits of, simply because it's almost gone perfect to plan, Darren. Perfect to plan.
Year five with Gorton in Montreal, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there are lots of people you talk to in the world of hockey saying you need 5 to 7 years to rebuild a team. If you're going to start from scorched earth, you need 5 to 7 years. And they've done it. They've done it. You look.
We think the New York Rangers are thinking about parting ways with Jeff Gorton.
But you're asking for a logical answer. And there is no logical answer. Jeff Gorton should have never been removed from that job. They were on that same path in New York. But that's the difference between the patience of Jeff Molson versus the patience of Jim Dolan. So and we see this all over the place. If you let people do their jobs, at a certain point, you will be able to, as an owner, reap the benefits of it. You know, those are situations. You know, I look at the next team like this, and I wonder where Chicago is in their rebuild, and how many more years Kyle Davidson had. He just got an extension. You know, the fan base is starting to get a little antsy in Chicago. Connor Bedard's, you know, has the opportunity to sign a new deal. You know, and what is that going to be? $14, $15 million. But have they surrounded him with enough people, enough quality players in order to get to the next step? So Montreal's the perfect blueprint. The question is where are the other teams that went to scorched earth? Chicago went to scorched earth. And now where are they on the rebuild? I think that they've had a couple of setbacks in Chicago. Frundell showed up. Are they back on track, ready to go? I think they've solved their goaltending issues with Spencer Knight. So the question now becomes is, will the Wirtzes give Kyle 2 more years to do it? But they've got to start. They can't be 31st next year, Darren. Chicago can't be 31st next year. Chicago has to be 18th. Chicago has to be playing relevant games in March. If you can excite your fan base to say we got a chance to get to the playoffs, that means you're pointed in the right direction. Chicago didn't play a relevant game after the Olympics, did they? I don't think they did. And that's what that's how you need to build your progression in these scenarios. And there are countless other teams that I think you're looking at a similar scenario.
Calgary, where they're in a rebuild. St. Louis, is St. Louis on the verge of a rebuild?
St. Louis is funny because there's a changing of the guard there too. In that,
Big names have been in trade rumors for a year and a half. It's one of the more interesting organizational approaches that we've seen. And guys under good contracts.
Who's making the decisions there?
Well, now it's Alexander Steen.
Is it?
You think ownership's involved?
Ownership's always involved now. Every team. Ownership's involved in every team. That's
a blanket statement. You just said some teams, the owner sits back and some teams the owner does not.
But that doesn't mean if you sit back, that doesn't mean you're not involved. My point is that when you're spending money and it's not your money, it's his money, he's involved. That's my point. The my question is I'd like to see how and why, how much involvement Doug has in St. Louis, Doug Armstrong, now that he's just
even after the transition.
He's still the president. He's still going to be a guiding light for Alex Steen in order to try to get this team back to, I mean, it's, is that 6 years since they won the Stanley Cup now? That's a long time. Not as long as Toronto. Not as long as Vancouver. Not as long as Calgary. Yeah,
that's a good question. Okay, so St. Louis won. Washington won their first Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. What's the acceptable time limit where you can lean on that? Is it 10 years? Is it 15 years?
What's Boston that won in Boston won in 2011. That's 15 years.
But went to a final since.
Yeah. No, but I think that's also part of it.
Okay.
Is winning is one thing and staying competitive is another. You know, that's the real challenge. And putting this back in perspective of Canada, every Canadian team has missed the playoffs in the last decade. That's almost as frustrating as not winning the Stanley Cup, I would give you. So it's one thing. Like for instance, a ton of talk right now. Florida Panthers, you know, they win two Stanley Cups in a row. They lose their captain before the season starts. A comedy of injury errors, miss the playoffs, are actually in the draft lottery, which is a joke when you think about winning the Stanley Cup for the last 2 years. Is there any doubt that the Florida Panthers are going to be a factor in the East next year? Not for me. They're going to be a factor. Look at Tampa. Tampa's a good one too, because Tampa won back-to-back Stanley Cups, albeit strange ones. The COVID Cup and then the one with the Avalanche.
Against Montreal.
Montreal. You're right. Sorry, Montreal. And then they've lost in the first round the last 4 years. Where's the impatience in Tampa? Is there impatience in the fan base in Tampa? I think the fact that Tampa is so competitive every year kind of mitigates that impatience. They're an entertaining team to watch. They have stars.
Mitigates it or adds to it?
No, I think it mitigates it. I think people.
I feel like there's some frustration there because they have such a good team.
I think it would be worse if they end up being like the 15th team in the playoffs. You know, they're always. I think being as good as they are in the regular season mitigates some of the frustration. Should they go past the first round? Yeah, they better start going past the first round again. So that's part of this whole thing about, okay, how many years does it take before you don't win a cup that you get frustrated? You know, so I mean, it's.
So what is it? 30, is it seven? Is it five?
Well, but here's
five
the
seems
thing.
Short to me.
There's 35 is short. There's 32 teams in this league. You know,
five short if you're comparing it to Toronto, but five if you're Tampa or Florida or Washington or who else? St. Louis.
But look at
that doesn't seem as long.
Okay, but let's look at another team that has been relatively successful the last 4 or 5 years and has nothing to show for it. Dallas Stars.
Yeah. But haven't won.
Haven't won the Stanley Cup.
No, but that's what I'm talking about. The if you win the Stanley Cup, how much time does that buy you as an organization?
I think it buys you 7 or 8 years. I think it buys you 7 or 8 years. It
doesn't feel very long for winning the ultimate prize.
No, except that, you know, there are so many great, like I look at the St. Louis scenario and how the city of St. Louis embraced the Blues after winning that cup in Boston. I look at that and go, holy smokes, that franchise is set for a long period of time. And I think they're now at the point where they're saying, okay, we can't rest on the laurels of
it. We got to get back going.
We better get going again. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many times have we talked to Bruce over the last couple of years of his frustration of losing that Stanley Cup final? Mm-hmm. I mean, and how would that have changed his life?
Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah. How would that have changed his life? Would he still be the coach of the Boston Bruins if they won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, you wonder.
Yeah. And he was one game away, one period away from winning the Stanley Cup. And so I look at everything that's going on and I look at what Montreal has done. And they have done it in a really, really strong, progressive manner that they hope to be a contender now for a long period of time.
You think they're an Eastern Conference contender?
Yeah, I do. I think they've
been a good, like, I wonder if they're ahead of schedule. That's the only thing I wonder. And they've done this, I give them credit. They've done this without a foundation of goaltending. They hammed and egged it all year.
Yeah, you're right. They did. So you can only hope that, I mean, and this is where that knowledgeable fan base says, yeah, Dobish has been good, but Fowler's going to save us over the next 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, I do think that they're in very, very good shape. I do think that if you're a fan, you know, are you going to reinvest your dollars in, you know, a seat license? Are you going to invest your time and watch all these games in Montreal? Yeah, you are, because they have done it right, and B, they are really fun to watch. They are really fun to watch. I think I've said this a few times in the last, you know, season. If there was five games going on and Montreal was one of them, I would probably gravitate to watching Canadians play more than anybody else because they're that much fun to watch. When you look at what Lane Hutson does, and when you look at what Caulfield does, and I'm a huge Gooley fan. I just think that they are entertaining and they win right now. And are they winning they're not winning the analytics war, but you know, they've won a heck of a lot more games than they've lost even in these playoffs.
You know who my favorite Montreal player is?
Philip Deneau.
No. Good guess, though. I'm a big fan of Philip Deneau.
There's another great story.
Yeah.
Because they got to a point this season saying, you know what, if we're going to do anything, we're going to need to have a little more strength down the middle.
They took on a guy that was having a terrible year.
Well, and he was terribly unhappy playing for Jim Hiller. Let's face it, he hated playing for Jim Hiller. So this was an obvious situation that he could get out of there and then contribute. And Philip Deneau has done what he's always done for Montreal in the postseason. Well, actually, what he did for LA too. He did a hell of a job against Connor McDavid, even though the Oilers won those series. Philip Deneau is a fascinating storyline for this hockey club. But they were able then to make a trade at a key point, not compromising many assets to get him, taking on salary. That's what you're able to do when you are working in the right direction and knowing when to pull the trigger on a big trade like that.
Okay, he's not my favorite player, but I like him.
Who's your favorite player?
Alex Newhook.
Yeah,
but are you scoffing at me?
You're on the bandwagon. Yeah, Alex Newhook is
absolutely. I'm on the bandwagon.
No way you would have told me in February that Alex Newhook was your favorite player.
That's why I said he's my new favorite player with the Montreal Canadiens. Won a Stanley Cup with Colorado. He's got some experience there, but is still like it feels like every year he's just trying to find his place. And this has been a remarkable campaign.
Hell of a start.
Seven goals. He had two in the Stanley Cup playoffs for his career coming into this year.
Yeah, no, it's a heck of a story, but you know that's what you do because you bandwagon guys. You bandwagon guys, you know.
Well, now I'm rethinking. You want
me to get a guest for the next part?
Nope. We'll come back and I'll tell you what I'm rethinking. It's 100% hockey with large chance.
You're going to change to Philip Deneau. We're going to change to Philip Deneau as your favorite player.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
You know what I'm rethinking?
What's that?
I had space for you. I had space for you right beside me. Well, actually, it's two seats over on the VGK bandwagon. But now I'm not sure I'm going to let you on. Because a lot of people are on this Vegas Golden Knights bandwagon right now.
First of all, I don't get on bandwagons. You know, I'm a fan of 32 teams. No.
John, it's a lot more fun when you're on the bandwagon. Let me tell you that from first.
The highs may be higher, but the lows are lower. And I've learned a long time ago, I don't like those lows. Lows suck.
That's why it's a bandwagon. You hop from one to the other. But it's been 9 years. It's been a pretty good run here in Vegas. Oh. And they're knocking on the door of a sweep of the President's Trophy winners to get to the Stanley Cup final for the third time in 9 years.
I was talking to somebody yesterday morning saying, why, you know, what if Vegas wins game three? And they said, first of all, I think a lot of people thought they would win game three based on Makar's health and how well the team was playing and going home and that environment. You know, we talk about Montreal's environment. Vegas is almost as loud.
Different loud.
But, But what does it say? You know, you're coaching your team. You've had a good season. You've had, you know, you've plateaued a couple of times. There's 10 games to go. You're in that 10 to 14 spot in the playoffs. What job security do you have? Because you know as well as I do now, if John Tortorella goes on to the Stanley Cup final and even goes on to win the Stanley Cup, owners and managers are going to be looking at this every year. How do we give our team a boost? How do we give our team a boost in March?
Well, the Islanders already copycatted it.
Yeah. Yeah. The only guy used to do it was Lou. Lou used to do this all the time. But so from that perspective, but it's going to raise the price for coaches, because job security is going to be tough. There's going to be less job security now than there ever was when it comes to coaching.
So Colorado is on the ropes.
Yeah.
Are you more surprised at how it's happened?
Well, so I think that there's two columns. The Makar injury. I mean, Kale played 27 minutes in game 3. But he's nowhere near 100%. He's not. It's pretty obvious. Nate getting hurt puts another nail in that coffin.
We'll follow his status for game 4 after blocking the shot.
Yeah, no idea whether he's even going to play, because you know darn well, Darren, that the swelling that occurs today or even started last night after the game is going to be tough. Give him some credit for trying to play with it as an injury, playing through it. I would be, based on the third period, I would be shocked if MacKinnon didn't play in game 4. I would be shocked. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but I'd be shocked. But let's look at a few of the other acquisitions this team has made in the last little while and ask how effective they've been. Martin Natchez, how effective?
He's had flashes in the series. He's had flashes, but well, not. But
Brock Nelson.
I thought Brock Nelson played really well in game 1, but from a production standpoint, there's been a gap there.
You could see in the third period, he tried to go to another gear and it just didn't seem to click. Even Nas, you know,
that's been noticeably different than what I expected.
So, and then the other aspect of this from a Colorado perspective is, we always marveled. We thought the Colorado defense was really good and deep. Well, I'm not sure how deep it is.
How deep did you think it was? Because I was more really top heavy on Colorado's defense.
Well, no, but if you went into games knowing your top two pairs were Makar and Taves. And I think Devon Taves is a good player, but I think he's playing on fumes. Mm-hmm. When you think about the season he's had, the Olympics, I think he's playing on fumes. And then you have Burns with Manson. I can buy Burns and Manson playing together, but then I there's nothing else there. Malinsky has been
Kulak. They brought in Kulak.
I didn't even notice Brett last night. Did you notice him last night? I didn't even notice him last night. He scored the great goal to win the series.
40-year-old in Burns. Like I just don't know how deep you thought they were.
I thought they were deeper than this, and particularly when Makar was didn't play the first two games, I think it really, really, exacerbated how thin they are on the blue line. You know, and good teams have go 8-9 deep in defense. You prepare yourself for this, and I don't think that they were well prepared for this. So the other thing I've had a couple of people mention, you know, if in fact Vegas sweeps or wins in 5, what does this do for Jared Bednar?
I've heard that rumbling around the rink a little bit.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This guy's a heck of a coach. This guy has, when you think
in
about
10 years, John.
I'm not getting rid of Jared Bednar. I'm not. And by the way, I've had friends for other teams salivating that Jared Bednar may be let go.
Yeah.
Because he'll be out of a job for like 14 seconds.
But the,
14 seconds.
It doesn't mean you're a poor coach. I don't think that would be any type of commentary on Jared Bednar as a coach.
It
would just be the voice. And you don't need any better example of the voice angle than the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, we were well aware of that because they're creating the new blueprint. You know, we're going to, you know,
here's the difference.
There's going to be that, you know, we always talk about that U.S. Thanksgiving, you know, we'll do the math and then it'll be the 80% of the teams. We're going to do a March 1st coaches Black Tuesday on March 1st because
I was going April. I was going April 2nd.
it's crazy. By the way, I the other thing is we haven't mentioned the other guy that came back for game 3, Mark Stone. And what he brings to that organization.
Maybe the perfectly timed return for your captain when you're down 3-0 after one.
Amazing.
And the captain's in the room and can just settle things down. The calm with this team has been incredibly impressive from overtime games in the first round, down 2-1 in overtime against Utah, double overtime in game 5 in that series, having one of your major leaders suspended in the second round. There's been reasons to lose their focus during the course of this playoffs, and they have been so steady. Just John Tortorella calls it flatline.
Yeah. I think that's the one place where, like, I they're not playing that much differently from a tactical perspective when Cassidy was there.
No, a couple of tweaks on the penalty kill and the diesel.
Right. But what Tortorella is able to do because he's a new voice is to keep them focused. And that's what he does better, I think, than most coaches. Whether it's through those simple, like I keep getting told how great his video sessions are. How simple.
No. Tape
sessions, sorry.
He calls it tape.
I know. Anyway, so I keep getting told how great his video sessions are. And they're not long. And he's very, very descriptive and very to the point. And I think players expect that and like that. But they don't want too much of it. And I think John Tortorella understands that. So he's able that those ups and downs that were, you know, bothering this hockey club through most of the second half of the season, he's able to make those adjustments and keep the guys focused. And that's maybe where his most influence is in maintaining that focus. But to see Mark Stone do it, and that, you know, the turning point of the game in game 3 was the power play goal. The turning point was the power play goal. And who scored the power play? Who scored the goal? Mark Stone, right place, right time. And which is what Mark Stone does all the time. Right place, right time. Not the fastest, still has one of the great hand-eye stick situations going in the NHL.
But lose many puck races, John. I know everybody talks about his speed.
No, but he doesn't lose puck races because of his stick, not because of his speed. It's all because and his positioning.
He's not a pretty skater, but I don't think he's as slow as everybody says.
Well, he's not Sonya Henie, you know.
Who is? Jack Eichel has had quietly a brilliant postseason, but only has the two goals, so gets overshadowed. You're quietly, an unbelievable postseason
because everybody wants to put the focus on Mitch Marner.
Yes.
And so they want to simplify, because what we tend to do in our world is simplify everything. Well, Marner's the difference. All Jack Eichel has been is solid, consistent, effective. And he's such a, and has been, and this is where winning the cup 3 years ago now will pay dividends for this hockey club, particularly in this round and in the next round. lot of experience, and a guy like Jack Eichel has had a ton of it.
The most underrated player on the Vegas Golden Knights, who has made, I think, the biggest difference in transition from team that could win to a team that is a wagon right now, is William Karlsson. And people won't talk about it as much, but the return of William Karlsson in the Anaheim series after 6 months off put everybody in the right spot. And it gave you the strength down the middle and took the pressure off the hurdle line and has just given you somebody to lean on in all facets of the game, certainly in the face-off dot. And nobody will talk about it. Nobody outside of Vegas will talk about it.
We've talked about it because I've mentioned Karlsson a lot, but probably more in terms of it allowed Marner to go back to the right position and make Marner more effective, because he's like now.
Brent Howden's a great story. Marner's a great story.
Jay Theodore's
Carter
a great
Hart
story.
Has been fantastic. Here's the thing.
I'm Bruce Cassidy, you know, and I, you know, whether I'm in Vegas or whether I'm back on Cape Cod, and watching these games, and Bruce could say, well, if I had William Karlsson and I had Carter Hart, I'd be in the same position.
Yeah.
He might be.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Of course. Timing, right?
When the dismissal was made, the timing was perfect because they went into a list of teams.
Well, Carter came back the same time as John Tortorella started.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest weirdest angles I've heard from people who actually believe this, that the Golden Knights made the coaching change to bring in John Tortorella because of Carter Hart. Like, are you kidding me?
That's bullshit.
But people are saying that and reporting that. Those are two independent developments. Carter Hart returned and John Tortorella was brought in. No. Not because of their history in Philadelphia. It's people amazing some of the stuff you hear.
People try to simplify storylines in order to, you know, to fit the narrative that they want it to fit. But at the same time, when you don't have as much access as you do, you start to stories start to ferment and stories start to grow. So that's a real challenge, you know. So it's I can understand how that logic would occur. But in the end, there's reasons why stories kind of just come out of nowhere in order to try to fit a narrative that you're either talking about or writing on a website.
So to the great performances, and when you compare their contracts, William Karlsson, $5 million player, and has given this team a look that they haven't had all year. And Brett Howden, $2.5 million player. And leading the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals. Like, value that you get from good contracts.
And I think that what the Golden Knights always seem to be able to do is manage their cap situation as well, if not better, than anybody else in the league. And so that when you can sit down with an agent or a player and say, here's where we think you fit in, here's where we think your money is, we like you, we want you to be here, but you know what, this is where our dollar figures are. And I think that for the most part, the culture, and I've never forgotten, we had this long talk with George, gosh, a year ago about culture. And I think that culture, that's how deep this goes within this organization. It goes to signing the right players at the right time for the right dollars as part of the culture, because players want to be in it as much as they do. I mean, what happened with Jonathan Marchessault, okay, you don't see very often, which is a free agent leaves Vegas. You don't see it. You just don't see it. And I'd love to sit down at some honky-tonk in Nashville with Jonathan Marchessault and say, was it really worth that extra $500,000? Was it really worth that extra $600,000 to leave that culture and that winning environment.
Because Vegas was firm.
But they always are.
They couldn't go past a certain point. Yeah.
Right. That's my point. But that's my point. You know, even in this, and that's, by the way, that's what this system was designed for. That's what, if you sit back and ask the commissioner when he wanted to do a salary cap system, that was what's supposed to happen. There was supposed to be guidelines set up for teams to reinforce. And then if they couldn't get to a deal with a player, then that player would move on. And then there would be a balancing act amongst teams finding players to play for their clubs. Vegas might do it better than anybody else. They might do it better than anybody else. And it drives other teams nuts. And by the way,
they take the emotion out of the decision. That's Kelly McCrimmon.
Yeah. But they did use the loopholes of the CBA well for a long time, and now those loopholes have been closed. Other teams did it too, and we just didn't really hear about them because they didn't win as much. But they are right. They have done it analytically, and they've done it well, and that's why I was not one of those guys in talking with anybody within the club as the season wore on, believing that this team was this good. You know, with the addition of Mitch Marner, this team is back to where I didn't believe them. And now you have to respect the patience, the persistence, the decisions that were made in order to get this team back to this point within one game of going to the Stanley Cup final.
Ran into somebody last night. I'll tell you all about it as we continue on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
I was upstairs in the press box after the pregame show on Scripps Sports. Tune in half an hour before every game, all the way through the Stanley Cup.
I don't get Scripps Sports on here.
You get everything.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
He's got a look. You're too busy with the big network types. Ran into Alex Pietrangelo.
How is my friend Alex?
He's looking like a million bucks.
Coming back?
No, I don't think he's coming back.
See, that's something,
I think that would be a major story. I don't think he's coming back.
No, but I mean, that would be something typical of the Golden Knights in the summertime, announcing the signing of Alex Pietrangelo to a one-year, million-dollar deal.
Well, he's got another year left.
Oh, they're even better.
So, yeah. So I guess he could still come back, but missing a whole year. But
the next thing you're going to tell me is Martinez is coming back.
No, Marty's too busy with the AM rewind.
Alex Martinez is going to be a star. And I just hope one day that he'll just remember us. Well, me.
Well, he thinks you're mad at him.
I'm not mad at Alex.
He still thinks you're mad at him. No, he doesn't think you like him.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's not the only person that thinks that you don't like them.
What am I supposed to do? Hug them every time?
Well, give me a hug then.
Not a chance.
Because I don't think you like me.
This isn't about you. It's not all of it. It's always about you, isn't it?
I'm just saying there's people out there who believe that you aren't their biggest fan, that you don't like them.
I love lots of people.
And I might be one of them.
I love lots of people, you know?
Tell me you love me. No, you hang up first, buddy.
No.
Give me a heart. Oh, give me a little.
I tell you what, the worst thing it could be on the interweb is something like that. You know, that's not happening.
Can you imagine that?
Oh,
John Shannon.
That might be my only way of getting a GIF, right? Or is it a GIF? Is it a GIF or a GIF?
I think you know the answer to that.
No, I don't. I'm just asking.
That, if you ask that question, you're old.
I know I'm old.
I think it's GIF. Hey, Huey, jump in here. Voice of God. It's GIF, right?
I think it's GIF.
Okay, so I said GIF.
Meme? Or meme?
No, meme. Come on now. Come on now.
We'll talk to you later on this week. I don't know whether this went well. I thought this was good. I enjoyed us bantering.
Well, we'll see if the listeners and the viewers.
You know, when this whole thing started, I thought we would do more of this.
Yeah, but we got on a roll with good guests.
Yeah, like, that's your fault because you're so connected. And that's a compliment to you. You're so connected.
We got a list of good guests coming too, baby. We got a good list coming. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be in awe of some of the guests.
Will it compete with my guest booking?
Who was your guest?
I had Marty.
You're taking credit for Alec Martinez?
And yeah, because you said, can you get Marty? And I booked him.
So in the end, it was my idea.
I still got him. And I booked you today. I cleared the room for us to have a conversation. People, let us know. Did you like this today? Or would you rather us bring somebody else?
Yeah, but I what's going to happen is they're going to say that owl-faced talk too much.
Yeah. You did talk a lot.
But you asked me all the questions. I didn't ask you enough questions. One day we're going to do it the other way. I will host. Fine with me. I will host, and you will answer the questions.
Vegas leads 3-0. The President's Trophy curse. Vegas leads 3-0.
Last time a President's Trophy team won the Stanley Cup?
Chicago.
2013, yeah. Remember that the famous David Bolin goal late in
late in
the game in Boston.
Like down 3-0 after the first period. I don't think Vegas has had a team for 9 years. It's tough for people to appreciate like that. Just being able to flip a switch. Man, Carter,
do that again. Do that again.
I can't snap. Dude,
that is the worst snap.
I know.
That's the worst snap I've ever heard.
You know what I can't?
It's awful.
It's the worst snap you've never heard because it doesn't make any noise.
Do you know how to whistle too or no?
No, I was just going to say, I can't whistle and I can't snap my fingers.
Oh, good. All right. No, don't go there.
Am I a loser because I can't snap or whistle?
I didn't want to say anything, but we got to go. Oh, no, don't even try the other hand.
I'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Snap.
You can't say snap when you can't snap.
I can't.